Hi, and welcome to Awaken Your Inner Wisdom. I'm Cissy Williams, and in this interview, you'll meet Rebecca Campbell, who's a writer, mystic, and podcaster. Rebecca is such a beautiful conduit for supporting us in connecting with the wisdom within, and she does that through all her books, oracle decks, and podcast episodes. She shares about her Healing Waters Oracle and how it can help us tune into our inner wisdom, and she also does a reading for us. So let's head over to this interview now with the amazing Rebecca Campbell. Hi, Rebecca. Thank you so much for being here. Again, I love connecting with you and just thank you for coming.
Oh, me too, Cece. I'm looking forward to our chat today.
Yeah, I mean, we've had quite a few chats now over the years. I can't remember first time I contacted you like this, but it must have been probably about 9 years ago.
Yeah, it was. You know, I actually remember the first time we spoke, and I remember where I was standing, like in the house. And so, yeah, it was definitely like about 9 years ago. I was living in Highbury at the time. Yeah,
I remember we had just moved back to Britain from Sweden.
That's right.
I was interviewing you for the magazines, and yeah, my life was very different then, and I'm sure your life was very different.
Oh my God!
Too.
Yeah.
It's weird when you look back and you go, oh my God, so much has happened.
So much. And then especially in that time period with the world as well, it's like,
Yeah. And obviously you've been on such an incredible journey. It's actually been beautiful to witness you and witness you really coming into your power more and more, your awakening that deep wisdom, ancestral wisdom within you. And it's beautiful to witness that. So thank you for saying yes to that deep inner calling to go deeper and deeper and deeper, connecting with that.
Thank you. And definitely you too.
Yeah. Well, it is a journey, isn't it? It's like sometimes I think it's good we don't know how deep it will take us.
I know. Do you have Scorpio in your chart?
Oh, yes.
Where's your Scorpio?
My Scorpio is in my Venus.
And me too.
Oh, really? Wow.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. My husband's Scorpio is in Venus too. And then my rising is in Pisces and my moon is in Cancer. So I got a lot of water signs. But I am a Sagittarius. So I have that too. What about you?
I'm Virgo, Scorpio rising, Aries moon. Yeah.
Wow.
My sun is... he's Venus in Scorpio and Cancer moon. So very similar to you. And I remember anytime I got a couple of my friends bought readings for me when I just had him. And with those two, they said he has been sent by the goddess to explore the many faces of the mother. And so it's interesting that you have the same.
Yeah. And also he had a very unusual birth, didn't he?
Yeah. He was born in his, they call it Enkol, in his little water sack. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you write that in your fabulous oracle deck that we're going to dive into soon. But you write how that used to be seen as a sign of someone coming in being like a seer, a mystic.
Yeah. I had no idea that it was even possible until I was like very, very, very heavily into labor, just like being like, come on, this has got to be it. But my waters hadn't broken. And yeah. And then, the midwives hadn't experienced it before, but then a few different people contacted me and a couple of like elders from different traditions as well. And so it was interesting seeing all the different indigenous traditions and the echoes with these ancient myths like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love diving into the ancient myths and see how they correlate. So, and then your daughter, she's a Sagittarius, isn't she?
She is. Yeah. Yeah, she is. Goldie, she's, very, I mean, she's so young now, she's not even one, but compared to, I think, everyone else in the family, she seems like quite an extrovert, which I think is quite Sagittarius.
Yes, it tends to be that. My daughter is Sagittarius, and so we're just before your daughter, actually. So we have a lot of Sagittarius in our family, so I thought it was really sweet when you were telling me that around her due date. I'm like, yeah, I know that. Know that fire. So we are going to be talking about your Healing Waters Oracle, and it is, again, an amazing, fabulous oracle deck. I love your oracle decks. They are very, very unique, very, very unique. I've never come across anything like it. So you are, I mean, the process, I'd like to know actually the process you went through in order to channel these oracles. Mm-hmm. But before we talk about that, how did the calling arrive for you to dive deeper into the healing mysteries of the waters?
Oh my gosh. Well, like most of these answers to questions, they're so multi-layered. I think there's really two answers to that. One is I had this really life-changing mystical experience. I think it was 2017, where I was in my kirtan training and I stepped into the center of the circle, and without trying, like I was just not trying to do anything, but I could feel something shifting. And I mean, it's a much longer story that I'm going to tell right now, but in essence, I went into the center of the earth, to the sacred waters there, which I hadn't had any experience of. And actually, I don't know if people are listening on audio, but behind me, I have one of the cards, which is from my starseed oracle, which was the first time I tried to like work with an artist to depict the experience. It's the fall into my arms card. And yeah, I was taken into the sacred healing waters of the earth, which kind of seemed like, if I look back now, I hadn't given birth at that stage, but they kind of remind me now of like the waters of the mother, like the primordial waters of the mother, original mother of the earth itself. And all around me were the ancient grandmothers of the earth, which is a group of guides that I work with now. Again, it's been so many years and I'm only just starting to be able to talk about it and like find words for it. And I think that's actually why I have been creating so many oracle decks, because I've been through such a huge, huge descent, I will call it. Mm-hmm. And oracle cards have helped me. Because I think often I'm wanting to kind of bring into form, into visual, into the real world, these altered experiences that I've had, you know, in order to make sense of it. I'm definitely like creating to understand and deepen my connection. And I think also in that time, I then became a mom and I had Sunny in his little water sack. So I properly saw I knew that we gestated in the waters of the womb. I knew that intellectually, you know, you go for your scans and everything, but there was something about my waters not breaking and him coming out with his waters intact. And I had a water birth as well. So it was like water within water. And it just really opened my mind to it a lot more. And I really started discovering like ancient folklore and much more around water consciousness. And obviously, like, it's so obvious when you look at it, but like life cannot exist on this planet without water. And it's such a scarce resource that we take for granted. And yet we need it so, so much. And so moving to Glastonbury as well, which I know is a place that is like a home for you as well. I started really noticing by walking to the wells every day, particularly with my son. And it was during COVID. So there weren't many tourists. So it was just like people who were properly living here. And a lot of people were fetching water from the well to like, not just like for spiritual reasons, like just to literally get their water. And so the wells really started teaching me. And it felt like it was this combination of mystical and just literally everyday, normal, practical, fetching the water. And and I think also I'd always had these visions particularly when I was younger, of like a water type world, of like really crystal clear water. So I'd always been drawn to it in that sense. And I always wondered like, oh, wow, like in the Starseed Oracle, you can see there's water in that quite a lot. And I've always used water as an element. And yeah, I dreamed into like, why is it that I feel so at home in that crystal clear water? So there were so many different layers but it all definitely came together once I was here in Glastonbury.
Yeah. And also, as you say, when you were combining, it's like the weaving of the everyday practical with the mystical.
Right.
Everyday being the mother with that child, that is kind of also this such an unlocking for you of
giving birth, seeing him in his, he's still held in that womb, in that water sac. So it is that, it's the weaving of the two worlds coming together. And I do feel that that's what your oracle cards are doing so beautifully, because you look at them and they're beautiful and very ethereal, and you can feel that spiritual energy. And then you use them and they become very practical and very kind of giving you really clear, crystal clear advice. Again, it's the weaving of that, that spiritual realm with the practical. And I do feel that's what you do so beautifully.
Thank you.
Hence, as I shared with you at the beginning of our talk, that it's not just about channeling and bringing through all these messages and beautiful gifts and wisdom. It's also about how can we then weave that into our everyday world so we share it with others.
Yeah, that's it. I think we're living in such extraordinary times, and I wonder if you feel like this as well. Like I feel like being a mystic or whatever title we put on, because it's just not normal enough yet to like say
it's
who we are.
Getting there.
Yeah, it's getting there.
But mystic is a lot more normal than saying that you're a witch, for example.
That's true. That's true.
So
to me, they're all the
right
same
direction.
Thing.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. And mystic is like, people are like, but what do you actually mean? You know? But yeah, I feel like, you know, like if we're talking from a soul perspective, right? I'm like, yeah, I've definitely had lifetimes where I've just fully just been the witch, just fully been the mystic, like in the cave, and just like properly like had the community support. And so I could just do that work. Whereas these times that we're in, like, it's just not the times that we're in. And so somehow I'm constantly feeling this like push pull of it, of like, oh, I just want to commune. But then no, these really are these times of integration. And even with things like like being called to be a mother or a parent while all of this is happening, and then I'm like, oh, but of course that's the best teacher you could ever have, and also you want to spend more time you know. And so there is this like push pull. But yeah, I've been getting a lot lately when I've been like connecting in and asking, like, you know, how can I be used? Like, what, like, how should I be sharing, spending my time? And also just with everything happening with the world. And I think so many have really been hurtled into like deep ancestral healing as well. And so it's like, what is this that, like, I know I remember hearing about 2012 and being like, that's when it's all, you know, that's the awakening or whatever. But like, I think that was kind of the awakening period, and now it's the integration period. And integration is so much harder than awakening.
Or like different stages of labor.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God.
It's like it's the opening 2012 and then 2020, we're really in it.
Oh,
and it is
shit.
That.
And there's no going back.
there's no going back. We're in that dark goddess birth canal. And I do feel so many of us are recognizing. We might have heard the call a while back, but we're really, really hearing the call now to step in, to be part of all the midwives helping to birth this, and to release what's been blocking us, gagging us, binding us in the past, so that we have the courage and the strength and the energy we need to continue to share this very deep, deep ancestral wisdom and magic and feminine power that is rising within us. And it is scary, because we do remember through our bodies, and it's not just through our bodies. I read something that Maya Luna was sharing the other day, actually, which I thought was so beautiful on Instagram. And she was sharing that, yes, we have these deep wounds in our collective and ancestral memories, but it's happening now. You know, it's happening now, the suppression of this very deep magic, feminine magic, the suppression of women stepping into their powers. So what you're doing is that you are creating a portal where you are being seen and then sharing that wisdom coming through you to others, which is helping them. But the fact that you're being seen is helping others too.
Mm.
because that is a huge fear.
It's huge. Yeah. It's so huge. Yeah. And I don't know that many people who like have that deep, the deep, deep call that don't have a bit of that.
Yeah, no, I haven't met anyone who didn't have the fear of that. Mm. And I think that's one of the things we have to work our way through. So actually that brings me to a question with that. So how have you worked your way through it? So the way I work my way through it is very much through shamanic journeying. So I journey in and I really, really go into the medicine I later teach. And how do you do that for you?
So at first, how I did it was by just basically moving through it. So actually sharing my voice, because I was so scared, but it was like the longer I kept silent and kind of, held myself back, the more frozen I kind of got. So actually through just like baby steps, but consistent, that was definitely at the beginning, because I'd tried so many other different things and it was just like, I just have to go do it now. I think that the two tools I use most now is I do a lot of like somatic work. Like when I'm feeling, say, dysregulated in my nervous system, I find that really helps because I feel calm and I can acknowledge that while I might feel afraid, I'm safe and all of that. That has definitely really, really helped me with my like just baseline fear, because I feel like I always had a baseline of fear, whereas now I don't have a baseline of fear. When I'm being called to like maybe step forward in a bigger way than I have, or share something that's a bit undefined, I might feel scared, but my baseline isn't that which it was. And then I think, I know the only way I've always done this. I literally write to the fear or through the fear. And same thing with any kind of big emotion, whether it's anger or feeling stuck or whatever, I'll always like write to that part of me. And the best writing I've ever written has always come from that place. And so now my brain understands that. So it doesn't take me so long to kind of finally get to that point.
That is actually beautifully put, because it's like probably in the past you would have procrastinated a bit.
Totally. Yeah. And been confused exactly. And looked for answers outside of myself and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. That is such a beautiful sharing that. And also that you said it's to show up anyway. It's to do it anyway. It's the only way to break through it, that you do share your voice and you do allow yourself to be seen. And embrace the fears that come up. And because I think they do that for all of us every time, as you say, when we are stepping up to the next level, those old fears,
they're like, so true.
And it's like we're given a choice point. Am I going to go back?
Yeah.
And hide and kind of allow myself to be again chained, bound, gagged by that old fear, suppressed? Or am I going to recognize, okay, I'm not just doing it for me. Yeah. I'm doing it for our daughters and sons and brothers and sisters and the mothers. I'm doing it for everybody else as well as me. And I find that that helps. For me, that's been one of the best things for being a mother, actually, is to recognize it's not about me.
Yeah.
It is about, for me, passing something more healed through.
That's really beautiful.
And it's it kind of gives you that drive to keep on going when you just feel like, I can't take this anymore. So what has been your drive to keep going?
Well, I think it's changing a bit now, but my drive, and I'm not sure what it is now, to be honest, but my drive has always been, this isn't like a positive thing necessarily, but as long as I can remember, young girl kind of times, I just felt this like urgency to get to work so I could get the job done and get out of here.
Oh, terrible. Wow.
Yeah. And
hence that you're such a great worker, because I know we spoke about that
I'm like, get it done. Exactly. I think it's
but
the Aries
changed.
Well, I think what happened.
I read one of your cards yesterday.
Oh.
And it spoke exactly about that.
Did it? Which one?
I can't remember because I was in such a deep trance, but I pulled some of the cards and I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. This is so good. Because it was about that. It was about being aligned rather than productive. Being
I think the thing that has changed, to be honest, and I think this is why I don't want to say like resisted being a mum, but I wasn't certain that I was going to be a mum. I thought I would, you know, you just assume and all of that. But both my husband and I were like, our non-negotiable was open to it, but not hard set on it. Like as we met, just getting clear on that. And yeah, and it took a while until I heard the call. So I had Sunny when I was, I think I was 38 when I had him, and Goldie 41. And yeah, having them all of a sudden, oh my gosh, like you're all of a sudden really, really, really physically attached to the world, like in a way that you're just not before. And I wouldn't have been able to say that or verbalize that before, but yeah. And I know that that's a common feeling. Then there's this other, in context of that soul kind of, let's get the job done to, oh no, I don't want to leave. Not that I was looking for a way out or anything. I'm talking
it anchors
deep
you.
Feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, we did Seder a little while ago when someone was actually doing Seder on me. And I came to a place where I really did not want to receive the light, because the light at that point was going to help me be here. And I'm like, I don't want to go. They're insane. They're insane. I don't want to go. It's like I was at that place before coming down into this body. And then I saw my children and I'm like, yeah, I'm going. I'm going.
Yeah.
I do it also for them. Yeah. So I do feel that often can be the case. And it's been, I can sense that. I can feel that in you, that having had your beautiful children has really deepened your connection with that rooted, beautiful, powerful ancestral medicine that you are bringing through. Which is amazing. Out of interest, which are your favorite cards in this deck?
Oh, you know, you're the second person to ask me that this week, and it's my one deck that I don't have a favorite. Visually, I love the She Who Flows card, which is a hint towards Rhea. Just visually, it's just absolutely sublime. But as far as like the card I love to receive is, well, I know the Sacred Well is definitely one of my favorites, because obviously it's a Glastonbury card, and then the Well Maidens as well. So I'd say the more Glastonbury cards are my soul favorite ones, but I love receiving the Mist, which is like trust your inner compass. And there's a couple more that are like, thank you, which is, it's just like when I receive those messages, it's like they just come right in the right time. And they're more simple cards, but yeah, visually I love like the Water Oracle, which is really like the Seer, the Priestess card, which is on the cover as well. Yeah, but it's interesting, this deck, I don't have favorites. All my other decks, I could tell you the one card, but yeah. Yeah, it's very watery. It's a watery answer, though. And the creative process was so watery. Oh, my God. Yeah. I've just started working on a deck. It's not out till next year, but it's the Ancient Stones Oracle. And I worked with the same artist that I did Rose, Water, and now Stones, Katie. And the creative process for Stones was amazing, because it was just so clear, subtle, but just once we were like in and like properly with the ancestors, like we were just like sending files over and organizing. It was just so solid. Whereas the Water was just so many different versions.
And of course, I mean, it makes sense, but it's so amazing when you're then in it and you can really feel the different energies and qualities of that element. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah. I had a sneaky feeling that you would be doing a stone one, because I saw on your the Mystic School that you run. I saw on the different modules and I thought,
yeah,
I wonder.
It seems that way. We'll see.
It's like, so I thought, oh, this will be great. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Would you mind doing a reading for all of us?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I think everyone just, it's a moment, drops into your heart. And just if you've got a particular question or an area of your life, just connecting in with that or whispering that now and, yeah, asking the cards to give us a collective reading. This is beautiful. So it's the Bounteous card. It's about coming together, companionship, like the feminine way, being generous. And you can see if you are able to see, but I'll describe it. If you're not, there's this beautiful pool of water. It's quite jungle-like, actually. And there are two women who were tending to the water, but also just like very open, very very bounteous, like everything is just in plenty, but it's in plenty because there is like this reciprocity. There is this like collaboration coming through rather than like this separation of like me versus you. Of course, like when it comes to water, it's something that we take for granted, but not everyone on the planet actually has access to it. And so it really is an invitation for us all to appreciate those things that maybe we overlook, whether it's like people or just like our basic needs being met. I know with everything that's happening in the world right now, can feel really overwhelming to know like, how can I help? And to me, this card is kind of like, appreciate what you've got, really tend to your vessel, your energy, so that, you know, you're not adding more kind of like difficult energy to situations that you know, you're just going to cause more complicatedness or complications. So it's just like coming back to grace, coming back to appreciation. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. It's been, as always, it's been amazing. Yes. Is there anything else you would like to add?
I just want to say how beautiful your mother statues are there.
And oh, yeah.
Love your dark goddess, and it's so gorgeous.
Well, they represent, I work very much with the Divine Mothers of Darkness and Light, and it's from my Arctic roots. So I have dived into that immensely. Yeah. So, yeah.
So fascinating.
So that's, for me, that's the light aspect of Freya. And then that's the Dark Mother Night, but it can be any of the Dark Mothers and the Light Mothers that they are for you. But yeah, no, that's been a real homecoming for me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for seeing them. Yeah. I also have a huge one, but it's too big. because you have beautiful ones. I've seen yours at times when...
I've got one behind me here.
Yeah.
Oh, quite a few, actually.
Yeah. But these are actually from Glastonbury.
From Rena's place.
Yeah. And she made that one especially for me. So she channeled Freya to bring in the real golden quality. Because she's a solo goddess.
So beautiful.
Yeah. So
yeah, I've got this one from her.
Yeah, I got that too. I usually have them when I bring...
I got like, so many of them. They're everywhere.
But her shop is amazing. Amazing.
So good.
Yeah. So for those that are listening and wondering, where is this shop? It's up on the
Halo. High
street. Yeah. Is it that's what it's called? I never called Halo. The name.
Halo. I forgot for a bit, but Halo, top of the high street.
Yeah.
It's not open very often. Saturday. No. Go Saturday around lunchtime.
Oh, great. Great. That's good to know.
Yeah. It's basically people walk past, they're like, oh, it's a Christ shop. It's not. It's a Christ consciousness shop, and it's a goddess shop, and yeah, beautiful, really. Yeah, the energy is pristine.
Yeah, and her husband are just extraordinary. So,
and sometimes they sell cashmere as well, which is lovely.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have these beautiful like prayer shawls. Yeah.
Oh wow. Oh gosh, I got to go in there next time I come to Glastonbury. I'm going down. I go down quite often, as you know. We bumped into each other in Chalice Well. Finally.
Yeah, finally. Yeah. I know.
It's been lovely. As
you
always,
too, as
Rebecca.
Always. Thank you,
amazing,
Susie.
Amazing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Everyone.
To find out more about Rebecca and her work, visit rebeccacampbell.me.